I've been playing around with R for 10 years, and then I discovered that there weren't very many other blind people doing so. And I wondered why, because it was so much easier than the software that they were all fighting with. And down in my corner of the world, I was having a great time, and it wasn't because of the weather. So I started having discovered what the, you know, limitations, few as they were, for blind people with respect to using R were, and then I ended up sort of deciding that it should be put into a package, and ultimately that package got a mention in the R Journal article where I presented the fact that R was the best that blind people could actually hope to work with. That's a little bit biased, perhaps. SAS is catching up. So, for years now, I've been showing people the text description of a histogram because histograms historically have been something simple to show you what's going on and what is possible, but it's also a graphical form that many blind people have never really understood in so many ways. And so we can extract all the text information that goes into my visual interpretation of the histogram from the object that R creates, that is a histogram. And a histogram is unusual in that it's practically the only graph that is a named an object with a named class in R. It's a histogram. So, very, very simple, stock standard, very boring histogram. Nothing special, one outlier. I know I use this example all the time. But we can get that text, and I can listen to it. And I could make you listen to it as well, but you get the idea. I'm going to read it line by line, and I'm going to hear every single character that you see on screen. So I want to minimize the amount of text there is because I have to read it in linear form, or I have to move around fast knowing how the output will appear. It's not the end of the world, okay, but it's really, really old school and boring. So, last year I met a guy called Volker Sorge. He's a German living in England, and I met him in Japan. Very internationally travelled man. He is involved with the MathJax Consortium, and especially with access to mathematical equations for those of us who use screen reading software. As a sideline activity, he decided to help gain access to chemical diagrams, and in the keynote address I heard last year, he showed how you could walk around a molecule, atom by atom, and be told how the molecule was structured. And it was a really, really nice tool, but I didn't understand the chemistry at all. And in hindsight, I probably should have taken more note of my ignorance. It came back to bite me earlier this year. So what do we need to make the tool that I am going to demonstrate that's going to change the experience of a blind person and print disabled people in general for getting access to the content that was all listed out in long form just a bit earlier? First of all, scalable vector graphics. If you are sticking stuff on the web, you ought to be using SVG for your graphics. They're much nicer in terms of the way they expand and contract when people play with the web page that they are viewing things through. But not all SVG are equal. There is a web standard produced by the World Wide Web Consortium, which is much easier to say W3C, that details what an SVG ought to be. And unfortunately, the SVG device in R does not meet that standard. A number of other devices that are available for use, including GGSave, which is probably your go to if you're a ggplot user. Ggsave does create an SVG file that is going to conform with the W3C standard. But it's not actually the most useful file format or file construct that we want. My interactions with Paul Morrell of Grid Graphics fame and his work in the Grid SVG space gave us a massive leap forward, because the SVG file that comes out of Grid SVG is very hierarchical and it's very semantically structured as a consequence. We can interrogate the bits and pieces in that SVG because it is consistently structured and everything is named. So we can interrogate the SVG, we can add to it, we can delete from it, we can play with it. So we do. But we can't stick everything into the SVG file that we want. We need an XML structure to sit alongside, which is going to have all the details about how we are going to walk around the graph. Now, of course, SVG is just XML anyway, but let's not worry about the nuances of that, shall we, at this point in time. An XML file is sitting alongside an SVG file. They need to talk to each other, and that comes by way of the JavaScript tool that Volker is responsible for. Now, that JavaScript is going to help us interpret what to do in the interaction with respect to various key presses. The arrow keys are the things that are going to move us around the nodes that are in a tree structure that is going to be what we explore. So, if I want to go back to the head node, I just press the up arrow a few times. I can move down a layer, and I can move left and right amongst siblings. You cannot go from cousin to cousin in the tree. I'll show you in a minute why. The next thing we had to do was relieve us of the pressure of having an internet connection. The chemistry examples that Volker had were always served over the web, because when you browse files under Windows, you can't pull two files and mix them together, which is what the JavaScript was doing when we had it as an SVG. But the protocols for the browsers, if they look at those files over the with an internet connection, were working. So one of the things that we got onto earlier this year was changing the glue, because I want that graphic to be created in real time. Okay, I want it now. I don't want to wait. My coworkers don't wait for their graphics. Why should I wait for mine? The other students sitting the same exam or doing the same assignment as me aren't waiting. Why should I? So immediacy is key. And we want to make sure that we can get by when we are working or studying at a university with a flaky internet connection. So inside the BrailleR package, we add a single command, which actually runs off and does a whole heap of other work that we really don't want to show people. And it's going to need a file name to save everything to, and it's going to need a command to wrap around the same line that generated the histogram that we saw before. Okay, so the contents of this command are going to generate that histogram. Right, so this is the one you're probably all waiting for, right? All right, it's going to get loud.
Station and buildings. Accessible statistics application, histogram, logarithm, graphic, cosine, left arrow, PPD, right arrow, graphic frequency, graphic, graphic, x-axis, graphic, something.
I'm using Internet Explorer on purpose, because one of the things that we know is that Internet Explorer does not handle SVG. which is probably one of the major reasons why people don't like using SVG. But it's okay, Internet Explorer is dead. Or dying. A nasty, horrible death. So I can't show you anything in here because it's not displaying the SVG for you.
Alt tab, alt control tab items. Alt tab, volume control, alt tab, endpoint, stash, jacob, free, massy, ac.nz, dash, alt tab, user 2017, user 20.
It's a bit loud, isn't it?
Ozone, desktop, html. Alt tab, menu bar, file, page, open the submenu. Firefox.
Yay for Firefox. Saving our bacon.
Enter, leave menus, user 2017, items view, response means only, items view. Items view, multi-select, list box, ozone, desktop, svg, sit. Ozone, desktop, html.
And it's probably looking for a flaky internet connection as we speak.
Alt tab, accessible statistics, dash, Firefox.
Here we go, come on.
Tab, Firefox, accessible statistics, dash, Firefox, meet only, tab, paddle, copyright, progressive accessibility solutions 2017, page, tab, through, mouse, click on the tab, empty application. Shift tab, accessible statistics. There are no radio buttons on this page, empty application. Hey, histogram of ozone.
Okay, so when I finally found the right place to press the A key to turn on our accessibility, I've just been told that this is a histogram of ozone. And if you can't follow the sound, all the text that is being read aloud by my computer is appearing on the screen somewhere, I believe, down the bottom. As we move around, the graph does have a title on it. That's reassuring, because one of the problems that as a blind person I have is that I can't actually tell whether a title got printed on the graph. So somehow I need to be told.
X-axis colon ozone.
The x-axis does have ozone on it. That's useful.
Y-axis colon frequency.
Oops, something's gone wrong there.
X-axis colon ozone. Y-axis colon frequency.
Frequency. Now, the thing I want to show you about the frequency.
Label frequency.
It's labeled frequency.
10 by 0. 10 by 10.
Is that.
11:45 10.
Checking the time to see how slow we're going. Is that this is where we get some extra information. So if I switch from basic to expert mode.
It's 4 of the 9 bars exceed the frequency 10.
I'm now being given some information that as a sighted person you probably take for granted.
2 of the 9 bars exceed the frequency 20. 2 of the 9 bars exceed the frequency 30.
2 of the 9 bars exceed the frequency 30. That's not the sort of information that's easily tabulated in a long text string, as I showed before.
Y-axis frequency ranges from 0, histogram with 9 bars. X, histogram bars. 1 out of 10 with value 37. 2 out of 30 with value 34.
We can get the basic facts of the histogram.
3 out of 50 with value 14. 4 out of 70 with value 15.
In short form, there is a much longer form that shows you all of the densities as well. So, our proof of concept works. We can build the structure, we can make the graphs, now we just have to work out how to put it all together in a form that blind people actually want. This weekend I will get in front of a bunch of blind people in the Netherlands, and next week it's off to Orlando, not because of Disney World, but that's because there's a couple of thousand blind people in a convention there, and hopefully lots of them want to talk to me. We do need help with expanding the range and of graphs that we're covering, and the next exciting development in that space is that a graduate student is about to do a project with Paul at Auckland to consider how easily we can do all of this for the ggplot graphs. It's very definitely exciting space, but it's very definitely early days. I'll save you hearing much more and take some questions.